Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. And wherever you may be listening in today, I trust that the Lord is drawing near, strengthening you, and as you tune into our program, that He will speak to your heart. Already we've been reading in Genesis chapter 3, and we're looking today in our message at what went wrong with this world. As you look around, you will see a world that really is not utopia. It's a broken world. It's a world of misery, of sorrow, toil, and death. And it's a world where man, with all his desires and attempts for perfection, falls very far short. Indeed, the Bible teaches us that sin is endemic. It is, man is totally depraved from head to toe. There is no soundness within him. And Isaiah depicts man as filled with bruises and sores from head to toe, diseased by sin. And we see that in the prison system. We see that in the court system. We see that in the police world. We see that in our hospitals, in the cemeteries that are in every community. This is a broken, sad world. But praise God, we have a Savior. And the world just doesn't need a teacher. We need a Savior. And so we look to the Lord to come and minister to us. Stay tuned now as we turn to our message on God's answer to a broken world. Last week we learned about God's perfect world. Today we're going to look at man's broken world, especially to boys and girls, that you might learn of what went wrong in this terrible, wicked world. Did you see the picture on the handout of that beautiful scene of the trees with the nice rosy red apples? And then the scene of the lamb, the little sheep, lying down beside the lion. Well, that is a picture of God's perfect world, and that is a scene of God's harmony, because before sin came into the world, there was nothing to fear. The little lamb did not fear even that large, giant-sized lion. And God made a wonderful agreement with Adam. It's called a covenant of life, that if he obeyed God concerning one tree, just one tree in all of the garden with many, many, many trees, that if he did not eat of that one tree, that forbidden tree, that God would give to him a guarantee that he would live forever and forever. And likewise, all of his children too, and his wife Eve. But of course, the devil was there. Now, last week I made a big mistake in my message. I hope you noted it. It was a terrible mistake. And I don't want you ever to make this mistake, because I'm bad. I got it very wrong. I said, it sort of slipped out of me, that in God's perfect world there was no temptation. Well, there was, because there was a tempter. And Adam and Eve, though they were perfect and made upright, they were temptable. They were given freedom to choose. And the devil knew that if he could only get Adam to disobey God and eat that forbidden fruit, then he would have a great victory, because he would claim Adam and Eve and all his children under death forever and forever. Now, this agreement or this covenant was made with Adam as the head or the representative man. And if Adam sinned, then everyone he represented would sin also. It's a bit like a king. When a king goes to war, if the king wins, then all his people win as well. But if the king loses, everybody loses. Or it's a bit like
a husband or a father, and he decides to build a nice new house. And so he saves up his money and he works really hard building this beautiful new home. And it comes a day when it's all finished and he brings his wife and children to live in the home. And they benefit from the hard work of the man in the family. But if the husband goes bankrupt and he cannot pay his bills and the bank sells the home, then not only the man is out on the street, but his wife and the children are out on the street as well with no home. And so when Adam sinned, everybody suffered. And that is the curse of sin coming into this world. Now the devil knew all that. And so he wickedly, craftily, because he was very smart, he found a way that he could get Adam to sin. And on a day when he saw Eve all alone by herself without her husband, the devil came up to her as a bright, shiny serpent. And he said to Eve, "Did God really say that if you eat of that forbidden fruit, you're going to die?" And Eve said, "Yes." But the devil said, "Is that really true? Do you not know that the moment that you eat of that forbidden fruit, that you will become as gods? And you will know much more, and you will be even like God, if only you take of that fruit." And so Eve, being alone, tempted by the devil, looking at that fruit with her eyes, was tempted. Her mouth began to water, and she took the fruit of the forbidden tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she not only took the fruit to eat herself, but she gave it to her husband. And what do you know? Adam also took the forbidden fruit. And that was a disaster. Immediately that they took the forbidden fruit, immediately that their teeth sank into that fruit, Adam and Eve felt the power of sin corrupting their bodies. They were disgusted with themselves. They felt terrible shame in the presence of God in the Garden of Eden. And more with that than that, they felt a power of fear filling their hearts. They knew immediately that God was angry with them and that they were under his wrath. And so they ran into the trees and sought to hide from God. But God knew, and God knew where they were. And God said, "Where art thou?" But the harm was done. The agreement between God and Adam was broken. Adam had eaten of the forbidden tree. He broke God's covenant arrangement, and instead now of enjoying the promise of life, he was under the curse of death forever and ever. And he became a sinner. He was a rebel to God in his heart, wanting to run away from God. And Adam's whole nature, his desires, his mind, and even his body was now corrupted by sin. And he was not right with God anymore. Now, when we think of sin's poison corrupting Adam's total nature, we call that total depravity. But there are some people, and even people who read the Bible, and they say they don't believe in total depravity. Well, I want to illustrate from these bottles what I mean by total depravity. This bottle is nice, clean drinking water. And this bottle is a bottle of ink from my printer. It's an Epson image writer. Image writer I use to print the bulletins. And it's terrible stuff. It gets on your hand and it sticks to them. It takes days to get it off. And so I'm not going to open this bottle in front of you. I've got this little dropper here. And I'm going to use this to just put a few drops into this bottle. Now, what you're going to find when I put the ink into this bottle is that it's not just one little part of the bottle that is polluted. But as that goes in there, you will see that the ink pollutes every little part or molecule of the water inside the bottle. And I'm going to put the cap on here just in case of the worst. Now, I'm going to invite you to drink some of the water from this bottle. And even you had a straw, you could not drink any of that water without getting polluted. Now, that water is corrupt in every part, but it's not the same concentrated pollution as the ink bottle itself. That's stronger. That's like the devil. The devil is pure evil. There is no good in him at all. Now, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, there was still some good in him, some little parts of good in him. But every aspect of him was, to a little degree or some degree, totally polluted, totally depraved. Every thought, every imagination, every desire, even his prayers, even his religious life, every aspect of his life now was polluted, totally depraved. Now, as I said, the devil, in him there is nothing but pure evil. Now, when souls die and end up in hell, they end up like the devil, pure evil. There is no longer good, no repentance, there is no faith, there is no love for God, there is no chance of them ever turning to God, and so they will end up in hell forever and ever and forever, and they will be under the dominion of the devil forever. Right now, this bottle is you. You are corrupted by sin. From head to toe, and every part of you is polluted. And you cannot say that I can do some things that will please God, because every part of you is polluted. And no matter what you offer to God, it is rags in God's sight. It's polluted, corrupt. When Adam and Eve sinned, it was like just as we saw the ink going right down through all of this drinking water, so that it was totally corrupt. Now, to be our Savior, the Lord Jesus had to die on the cross as a sin bearer. He took that sin upon himself in his body, and he bore that sin and all the wrath of God due to that sin, so that he would save us from the pollution of sin. There's only one way for you to be free from the corruption of sin in your heart and your life, and that is to go to the Lord, ask him to cleanse you in his atoning, sin-cleansing blood that he shed on that cross of Calvary. And the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the Lord did this for sinners, but he never did it for the devil. The Lord had never died on the cross for the devil. He died for sinful men and women only. And if you trust the Lord Jesus, he will take away all of your sin. Now, what Bible verse would teach this and prove it? What about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what you need to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's the wonderful, wonderful good news of the gospel. And boys and girls, I ask you today, don't live with a filthy heart. Don't live under the wrath of God, running from God. But run to him, confessing your sins, believing with all your heart the promise that he will wash away your sin. Will you do that today? You can have your sin problem worked out, solved completely today by coming to trust in the Lord as your Savior.
Gone well. Friday is always a day of some relief. By now, for many at least, the bulk of the work week is over. There's a little time to rest, to recharge ourselves with home, family, and church. Well, it will be online again this Sunday for us. This pandemic is at its deepest trough. The fear of the worst has come upon us. Before vaccines can be relied upon, there is a last-ditch effort to stem the tide of this virus. Thank you for doing what you do. I say that to doctors, nurses, and our health officials who work around the clock to keep us safe, or at least somewhat safer. But I also say that to each one who may stay at home keeping a distance from others. By not getting sick yourself, you are freeing up a bed in hospital for someone else and freeing up nurses to care for them. So, thank you. The hour is urgent, and we wish we could minister to the dying in their hour of darkness. For those who are not saved and don't know the gospel, death is a terror. To the Christian, however, death is a messenger of hope to carry us across to the other side, where we enter the city of heaven. The Lord himself will meet us and bring us into the eternal city to dwell with himself. Heaven is a great subject to dwell upon in these times. I highly recommend that you read the closing chapter of Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian, along with hopeful, leave the enchanted ground, enter into the land of Beulah, where they see the celestial city. They notice a river between them and the gate of the city. They are told that they must pass over, and they are told that they will find it deeper or shallower according to their faith in the King of the place. That is the answer to the Christian life and death. We need strong faith. We need to keep our hearts fixed on the Lord of our salvation. Think on his perfections, his love to our souls, and his tenderness to keep us as our shepherd. Then we will not fear, but rest in the Lord of our salvation. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for listening to our program today, which is about a broken world to which the Lord is come to save his people. Do not love this world. It will poison you and kill you. Rather, believe on the Savior, whom the Father has sent unto us to seek and to save that which was lost. We were all lost souls, floundering in a broken world. Believers have found the Savior, who saves from sin and presents us spotless to the Father in heaven. Will you seek the Lord today and be saved? That's the great need, and I trust that the Lord will save your soul. If I can be of personal help, give me a call. May the Lord minister to your heart. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gollaher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony Dederno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, he is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when, once more, we let the Bible speak.